Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whenever you may be listening to this. This is the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos. That's Bob Mackowitz. Bob, it's been a little while. You've been a busy fella.
Been busy. It's been about a week. I guess a week to the day since we've done this pod.
Yes.
Do you find that you miss it?
Of course.
It's weird, isn't it? We decided to stretch it out to two when football season started because there was lots to talk about.
Yeah.
And we like doing it.
Yeah.
Just more listeners. And really, if we doubled them and we got to 50, what difference would it make?
What are you talking about? We're almost 1,000 per episode, Bob.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Is that good?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I guess it's true. You should try to put the numbers in context. But onwards and upwards.
Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo Snail Podcast is pulling in 3,000
per. But have you heard what Joey Jojo does? They really push the boundaries. They do some good work. So, a lot to get to.
Yeah. Listener questions today.
Listener questions.
Talking Mark Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
The women lose last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a tough one. You couldn't have watched it, though, right?
I watched part of it and then had to go to bed, but I recorded it, got up the next morning earlier because I was usually up at 4:30 to do morning radio. But yeah, I got up a little bit earlier to watch it.
Wasn't the game last night?
Good. I don't know. I don't know, Bob.
You and I are punchy.
Yeah.
You've been doing morning radio. I've been working around the clock on some film projects.
Well,
I watched it last night.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a game.
It was. It was a great game. So we'll get into that. By the way, in terms of speaking like punchy and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So a couple things. Just, I want to hear about the filming you were doing. You were tied to a chair.
I was.
We're going to get to that.
As you can see, though, I escaped.
You did. Yes.
So
spoiler alert.
Happy endings.
There you go. Careful with happy endings and tied to a chair.
If I may borrow from Archer,
yeah,
phrasing,
yeah, exactly.
Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
such a good show. So I was not supposed to work on Wednesday during the morning radio. So Tuesday night, I'm like, I'm going to go out. I'm going to treat myself. I also discovered I don't owe as much in taxes as I expected. So suddenly I'm like, oh, free money. So what do? I'm going to go to the club. Going to read the National Club. Going to go read the newspaper. Get a semi-nice bottle of wine. Have a big dinner. You know, watch the Leafs game from there. You know, finally have some me time for me. By the way, you can't see this. Bob is glaring at me.
I'm not glaring.
Yeah.
I'm smiling bemusedly.
It's smile glares. Smiling.
I'm enjoying this.
Glyling.
Look, as you like to say, Maddie, it's on brand.
Yeah, it's true.
Proceed.
Totally on brand. And so just enjoying myself, you know, dee, 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 you know, like Peter and the Wolf.
Is that the drunk sound?
I guess so.
Is that like the soundtrack for a buzz? Dee, 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 dee.
Exactly, 100%.
Maybe in your mind.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So then go to bed around 11 o'clock at night, a little after 11, nice, happy buzz, just thinking, not going to wake up in the morning. Just, you know, I got my day planned, what I'm going to do starting at 9:15, 4:10, my phone rings and it's Michael Landsberg. And my first thought is, oh, I don't know what time it is because I'm just out of it.
You're probably stunned.
Yeah. And so I think I'm going to go on air. So I give my best I am awake voice. You know, it's 10 after 4. I'm like, yes, hello there, Michael. What is up? And he was so sick, like passed out because he was vomiting, kind of sick, like really bad flu. So I emergency call in, head to do the show on Wednesday. So, you know, last 2 days.
Were you still buzzed?
No. Oh, God, no. Because I stopped drinking at probably, it was before the third period. So then just come home. It's like landing a plane that's ran out of gas, but it just the perfect glide landing. But it was more just a shock to the system because you don't expect suddenly at 4:10, wake up, and now we're going to need you on radio in 2 hours.
Was it a good show?
It was an easier show because we were doing Olympic games. So it's just on for an hour and then doing in the intermissions. So it's an easier show to do. And I watched the Leafs game. So it made it simpler. But it was certainly, you know, in terms of punchy, it was a jarring way to start Wednesday.
All right, then. Yeah. So I guess in retrospect, this is pretty easy.
Oh, yeah.
Like what we're doing here now.
Oh,
by
yeah.
comparison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's very easy.
Okay, cool.
Do we also talk about the fact that I saw you in your towel this morning?
Well, might as well get it out of the way.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. It's 10:48, and yesterday Maddie and I agreed we'd get together at 11 and do the pod. And, you know, last night was a late night for me, too. I went to bed like around 3 o'clock. And,
yeah.
You know, the house is a mess. We haven't had a chance to tidy. Sandra's been really busy getting ready for the Canadian Screen Awards. It's just a busy time in the house.
Yeah.
So I figured I got to get in a quick shower because as soon as we're done here, I got to run back to the edit suite.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got, you know, I got 20 minutes before Maddie gets here.
Yeah.
So 8 minutes go by and I see by my and I thought I heard something. You know, when you think you hear something, you're like, nah, whatever. So actually, Matt was at the door early. So I had to go down and get him.
Yeah.
And I was in my towel.
Yes, you were.
Right?
Yes, you were.
Looking like a 1970s wrestler.
Yeah.
AWA styles. And so Maddie and I, of course, started arguing at the door with me in my towel. He's like, oh, nice to see you, Bob, or some smug comment that he made.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're early. You're 15 minutes early.
Wasn't 15 minutes right. early.
He was 12 minutes early. So I ask you,
dear
listener, if you're very busy and you try to sneak in a quick shower before someone gets there and they show up 12 to 15 minutes early.
12 minutes.
Right. Are they allowed to give you grief because they had to wait at the door for a minute despite the fact they were considerably early?
I apologize for being early, Bob. That one's on me. Staring at each other now. And I went to the back door. I banged on that.
Oh, Matt, you didn't have to go to the back door.
Yeah.
Sorry to put you out there. You had to walk to the back of the house.
I called our old producer from Off the Record, Todd Hayes. I'm like, Todd, I'm standing at the back door. I can't see Bob. The house is dark. I've called him, but he doesn't have an answering machine on his phone. So then we are laughing about the old times. And then I see this dark, shadowy figure, you know, inside the house. I'm like, oh, wait, I think Bob's here. And
it's
then
like
I go back to the front
door.
Michael
Myers stirring in the background.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it.
All right. So let's just analyze all the ways in which that's an insufferable set of comments by you. So you show up early and you were put out that you had to walk to the back of the house.
Yep.
You immediately make a call to a mutual friend to shame me with no logical purpose to fix the situation.
Just a giggle.
Right. Like you didn't call my wife and say, hey, do you know where Bob is? You called a mutual friend that would think I was ridiculous.
Well,
for
I
not
called you first,
phone.
Couldn't leave a message on the machine. Then
that's
sent
dodgy.
You a text.
You know what? I only realized recently that, like, because I had to get a new phone, I only realized recently that I hadn't set up my inbox. I feel bad for that.
Yeah, you haven't. See, the thing is,
but nobody leaves messages.
I leave
Who
messages.
Who leaves messages?
Me.
Honestly. Like, you know what your message is?
Yeah.
Call display. I see that you've called. I'll call you back. In 2018, nobody leaves voice messages. It's an insult.
I leave voice messages.
What could you possibly tell me that I wouldn't know? Like, do you think that I would only call you back,
Bob,
if I heard the message?
My message, and Bob,
the
I'm
message
at the door.
Is call me back.
Bob, I'm at the door. Where are you? Call me back.
Beep. Right. What would that accomplish?
Very little.
Right. None.
Yeah, very little.
Right.
Very little.
All right.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
There you have it.
Punchy, angry at each other.
Dude, the funny thing is, this is going to sound like an insult, but it's not.
Okay.
You have none of the trappings of a disorganized fella in terms of your past success, in terms of just, you know, your... You know, successful marriage. You have a success. You know, your daughter is fantastic.
And I'm a big control freaky on my projects.
You're a homeowner. You're not drowning in debt. You have none of the trappings of disorganization. Yet every now and then, you've got these wild spikes of completely disorganized. Fair?
Yeah, totally fair.
Totally fair.
Totally, absolutely fair. And for some reason, they often involve you.
Yeah, they really
do. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've started this pod just... How far are we into this?
Nine minutes.
So can we just apologize to everyone and move on to some sports?
All right,
let's talk about the women's game.
Yeah.
We kind of started there. Losing 3-2 in overtime.
Yep.
I guess you knew the result before you actually saw the game.
Yeah, I tried to rewind.
Right.
No, I didn't. When I got the game on, I was able to do some DVR magic, so I put it back on when the game was in overtime.
You know that there's certain third periods in close games that even though you have the lead, you actually worry more for the team that's in front.
Yeah.
And it's hard to explain because logically you would much rather have the lead. It's not like you're in a disadvantaged position. But watching that game, I kept thinking, wow, Canada's in trouble, even though they were holding the lead going into under 10 minutes left in the gold medal game.
Yeah.
Because the States were playing really well. Mm-hmm. Shannon Sabados was holding them in the game, yep. the Canadians. And I have to say this. I thought a lot about how I felt because it was pretty crushing when they lost. But it's just a great game.
It was.
And in a shootout, it's a coin flip. Yep. I didn't even settle it in the first five. Like that. I mean, it was literally as close as a game could be.
Yeah. Stupid Phil Kessel's sister.
I know.
Thanks, Phil.
Man, what a shot, though.
Boy, stupid play Phil. Hockey. Some more hot
there was
dogs.
A lot of high-level hockey. And yeah. we'll get to Marie-Philippe Poulin in a minute because she has a kind of a mixed legacy from this game. But I don't feel bad that they lost. Like you yes. feel it was one of those, don't be sad, it's over. Be happy that it happened.
Yeah, like it was... At the moment, it was crushing. Like, ah, oh! You know, you're really disappointed. But then afterwards, you're like, it was a great game. Canada got lucky to win in Sochi. Canada was outplayed by the United States earlier in this Olympics. So it was almost a sense of inevitability. And you got the game to overtime. The only real big kick in the gut was third period. You got the 2-1 lead. I forget the winger for Canada who shot is stopped and had a good opportunity. It was like a 2-on-1. It was a 2-on-1 and not able to score. The States turned right around, bad line change by Canada, and the States ties it up at 2 with about 6 minutes. And you're like, oh, if those you don't have those mistakes, maybe we're talking about gold.
The amazing rivalry between these two teams.
Great.
You can really see it. Like they're the two best teams in the world by a country mile. And they live to play each other.
Yep.
And they're a measuring stick for each other. And this rivalry will go on indefinitely. The symmetry was perfect in that you had a 3-2 victory. You know, there was a one goal victory in Sochi.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a one goal victory here.
Yeah.
And it was just literally things were flopped. You know, Canada takes the third, ties it up in the third 4 years ago. America ties it up in the third this time. I mean, yep. It really, if you look at it as a picture of two games, wow. Like literally. You wait 4 years for the rematch, and it was the exact dramatic reversal. Oh, yeah.
How often in life do we not get like the great game or NFL wild card weekend, and then Sunday night you're like, oh, they're all blowouts, or just like it never. So often in life, the hype never lives up. This was not the case.
That's exactly true. I kept thinking like, if this is a 6-1 game, then the whole women's tournament will have been a drag because yep. you basically live for this one game, and it just never seems to disappoint. And I think we all understand that the growth of the women's game is more tied into its growth in the States than it is in Canada. If you can actually have a viable women's program built up through the States, Canada will keep up.
Yeah. Now it's up to the rest of Europe. That's the thing. It's like you look at the amount of participation, it's like 85,000 Canadian women play hockey, 80,000 American women. And then I forget the third highest nation, but I know this, it's under 10,000. That's such a drop. That is such a drop.
So the other thing is, I don't know how you felt about this. Marie-Philippe Poulin lays out the...
Decker.
It was Decker.
Yeah.
And it was a cheap hit.
Yep.
She should have been thrown out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that she's the best player and that she didn't even get a penalty on it, I kind of felt like had the Canadians won...
That would have been a bigger story.
Yeah. It would have been a bigger story and it would have kind of tainted the win. Like when you don't... It would have been a bit of a Gretzky... You know, Leafs situation.
Carey Fraser kind of thing. Yeah.
You know, like your best player should have been tossed mm-hmm. and you wind up winning.
Yep.
You know, so if she goes on to, you know, score or assist on the winning goal, then that becomes a tainted game.
Yeah.
So in some ways, I was almost grateful that we could just look at this and say, okay, it was best on best the whole way through.
Yeah.
And the Americans won.
I'd still rather win and deal with the controversy, but I see what you're saying.
See, that's funny, right? Like we as Canadians are like the world's moral police until it comes to hockey. And then it's like, well, crank her freaking teeth down her throat. I don't care if she ever walks again.
Oh, yeah. And also,
we want gold.
We would not be as pissed off about shootouts if Amanda Kessel had missed.
Right.
You know, because she tied it up. So we would have had a very different, you know. But my bigger message is, don't worry. I know shootouts suck. And here's the thing. We're not breaking any new ground. No one likes them. The opposite of My Girl by Smokey Robinson is shootouts to decide championship games universally hated. So let's just focus on the positive.
So I was thinking about this. Tennis has it right. In the final set of a match, you can't win in a championship round
mm-hmm.
unless you win by two, right?
Yeah.
Like you'll win 8-6, 9-7, 10-8, whatever it is. And that's not the case for the other sets. you can win in a tiebreaker, 7-6, just so you wrap them up more tidily.
Yeah.
Why is it in a championship game you just can't say, okay, no shootouts?
Yeah, we'll just keep playing.
There is no game tomorrow. Yeah. Like, it literally is the final game. Like, why is it in the finals? You know?
Yeah, where do you got to go? Where does anyone have to be?
I get the regular season that you don't want these things going on interminably, and you don't want, like, baseball where you occasionally get these crazy 17-inning games. But when they get to the playoffs, hockey just says keep playing.
Yeah.
The NHL does it. Like,
keep going.
Why is it in a gold medal game? You can't just simply say, okay. And why does it have to be 4-on-4? Just keep playing.
Just keep playing. I know. I agree. I think the biggest positive to come out of it is there was 8 rookies on this team for Canada.
Yeah.
And you know what? They beat the States once, and they lost to them in a shootout with rookies. They're all going to get better. So it's funny, you can't even say brighter times are ahead, because for Team Canada, it's always bright. It's not about a light switch, it's about a dimmer. And the dimmer just went down a little bit. That's it. But it'll be back full on with chandeliers everywhere and spotlights next time.
There is exactly 0 negative shadow cast on the...
Yeah.
On the Canadian program. Because you lost in a shootout.
Yeah.
To the other best team in the world that frankly is just as good as you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. Let's be grateful for it, because if it was just Canada crushing everybody, how much better did the world tournament get, junior tournament get, when we realized, well, Canada doesn't always win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the stakes are higher. And in the end, that's the main thing we want in sports, is the stakes. I was also bummed at them. And then a couple hours later, the American men's curling team beats our curling team, and now Canada's not even going to get a gold. They're going to play against Switzerland for bronze. So come on, America. Get over yourself.
Although the Americans haven't exactly had the best Winter Olympics.
Well, no, they haven't. But
Lindsey Vonn fell yesterday, your anti-American agenda makes you feel better here.
I'm glad.
Or she fall or just not finish?
No, she did end up with 1 bronze.
Right.
In her final run, she got a bronze. And considering she's broken every bone in her body, I was glad she won.
Pretty amazing story.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was glad.
Also amazing when you think that nobody medals after 30. Like, that's another sport. Man, sports are tough. Sports are for kids now.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially something like soccer, like, or like skiing. The difference between the summer games and the winter games. In the summer games, you could twist an ankle. In the winter games, I believe that 95% of the events can murder you. You know, curling is the one that can't. And that's the one where the Russians get caught, or the Olympic athletes of Russia get caught doping. But every other event will murder you at some point, except for curling. In the summer games, you know, I scraped my knee. Oh, I think I might have twisted my... Oh, I think I sprained my... Oh, no, I'm fine. Let me walk it off.
All right. I follow this Twitter feed called Super 70s Sports.
Oh, and yeah, it's a good one.
Do you know it? Okay.
I know it, yeah.
If you don't know it, it's just old photos from the 70s and that classic era of guys who were barely athletes.
Yeah.
And it's just, the pictures are so amazing. And my favorite for curling is they had a guy with big mutton chop sideburns holding a cigarette while he was curling. He was curling at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. It's
smoking during the game.
Is it weird that I wish more athletes smoked? It's just it's such a novelty. Like, when you see a shot of, like, you know, quarterback for the Chiefs, Len Dawson, or receiver for the Raiders, Fred Biletnikoff, and they got a dart on the sideline. You know why I like it?
Guy Lafleur, Mario Lemieux, list goes on and on.
Because
Hernandez having a butt in the dugout, like just the tunnel way of the dugout in the 86 World Series, was wrapping it up with a sad smoke.
Going to Flavor Country before winning the World Series. What I like about it is it humanizes. You know, it's like, oh, okay, they aren't these crazy, semi-human, perfect-shaped individuals. They're human beings.
What was your Tom Brady joke again? After he loses in the Super Bowl, he rage binges eating a 13th almond.
He rage eats an extra almond or something like that. Yeah. So, the Olympics.
So there's that.
There's that. We got a gift.
Yeah, we did.
One of the listeners, Buffalo Phil, and he sent it in a little while ago. But you haven't been at my place, and you know we haven't been able to record it. And it's to the Cox and Bob, Cock being my last name and my girlfriend's last name, an amalgamation. So
Cause and Hawk.
So there's a gift here. So I was thinking, you want to give this a quick open?
Sure.
It's like hearts or something here.
Ooh, kisses. Hershey's kisses.
Oh, Buffalo Phil. Way too kind of you.
Thank you, Phil.
Very nice.
How thoughtful.
Yeah, so I just wanted to open it on air.
It really shames the other listeners.
Eh? It really says, and it says Cox, and and stuff. So I just thought that was funny. So I went over that. Shout out Buffalo Phil. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir. We got listener questions to do.
Okay. Do you want to do that, or do you want to do Leafs talk, or?
Let's see. You know what? We'll do a little.
I'm punchy. I'm ready to go with anything.
All right. Here's my thing.
I want to do the Mavs topic though before I lose energy.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of steam on this one.
Well, the Mavs topic, it is a two-pronged one.
All right.
The first one is that Sports Illustrated did a report on the culture in Dallas. And there was really two things that stuck out. One was that the president and CEO is a vile man who was accused of inappropriate touching and saying, and I'm not talking about like, you know, hey, baby, you look good in that skirt. Horrible lines that he would say to new female employees, just incredibly sexually graphic.
And repeatedly so.
And repeatedly.
History over a long stretch of time was internally investigated, apparently, back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, please don't quote me on the actual date, but was internally investigated. But considering that he was amongst the top people in the organization, I've got to imagine who exactly internally investigated him. People who worked for him?
Yeah. I have no idea. But and his name, Terdema Yursi, it's hard to pronounce. I probably just screwed it up. But he was the president and the CEO, and this was going on for a long time, to the point when other female employees would say to new ones, don't be alone with this guy.
And I was watching Rachel Nichols talk about it, and she did a very good sort of overview on this with a little bit of editorial mixed in, but largely just summarizing the reporting. And according to that, you know, the HR was contacted, and basically women were told to toughen up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, horrible.
So it's not even like this was a culture of silence. There were attempts that were made by employees to fix the situation.
That got silenced.
So there's a lot of components. I haven't read the Sports Illustrated article.
I've read it.
Have you read it? Okay, so yep. I'm going to lean on you for this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my impressions are based on the reactions to the reactions.
Yes. So there was also the team reporter, Earl Sneed, for themavericks.com, accused in 2014 of hitting a female colleague with whom he had a relationship just 2 years after he had pleaded guilty to assaulting a girlfriend. And Cuban and them, they knew about these issues, but they still kept them there. He wasn't even allowed to go to the United States. Cuban has admitted he made the decision to keep a two-time domestic abuser on the payroll. He says, I don't blame anybody else. It came down to my final decision. I would have fired him. I should have fired him and still made him go to counseling.
So in the one case, Cuban says, I did know and I made a huge mistake. In the other case, as I understand it, he says, didn't know.
I had no idea about this culture, about this behavior. And that one seems...
That one seems very dodgy to me.
It's hard to... It's one thing if things were going on in the HR department or with publicists, fine. Cuban hangs out mostly on the basketball operations, like just teams, scouts, things like that.
But he's also a very, very intelligent and hands-on person. And the idea that over the course of all this time, including internal investigations that have been conducted within his organization, that somebody that hands-on, this is not like some minority owner that just wants to pick up 3% so he can have a luxury box and bring his buddies down to the game and say, hey, you know, I own a team.
Yeah, Derek Jeter.
This is a guy who's on the court. And he's obsessed about the game. He's obsessed about his place in the game. You know, fancies himself a Jerry Jones type figure within his league where, you know, he's the straw that stirs the drink.
He's like a progressive Jerry Jones.
100%. And sees himself, pardon the pun, but as a maverick who's leading the charge of the NBA into being the world's biggest league. All of that said, how unlikely is it that this could have been going on at that level and he had no idea?
And the thing is...
I'm not blaming him, but it does sound very suspicious.
When it's the president and the CEO that's at the center of all of this, that's a guy that would spend a lot of time with Mark Cuban.
100%.
And whether he knew it or not, it feels like at the very least, Cuban turned a blind eye. Much like, guess what? So many other presidents, CEOs, VPs, HR in sports, in finance, in entertainment, in politics. To say Cuban is 100% innocent here, no. And he bears some responsibility for all that's going on. And it feels a little bit, we'll see, feels like he's skating a little bit versus, and again, he's different than Sterling and Jerry Richardson. All right, they're different.
All right, so this is the thing. And you nailed it on the head because that was my question right back to you. So if you're Adam Silver, what do you do? In the case of Donald Sterling, where there was taped evidence of him making racial epithets and racial statements.
And also years and years of just racist, discriminatory housing practices. That was the easiest thing to do.
Right. But in a lot of ways, all that his history was there to merely fortify what we saw as the principal crime.
Yeah.
Right. And then you've got Jerry Richardson, who was directly involved in sexual misconduct with his
allegations. Nothing's allegations. Been proven.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But to the point, though, where clearly he was given the nudge.
He stepped down right away.
Right away. And what was the involvement of the league and Roger Goodell? I don't know.
Don't know.
I don't know. So what do we do with Cuban? If it turns out to be true, and as this is investigated, that he knew about all this and allowed all this to happen on his watch. And here's my biggest thinking in this, before you answer.
Yeah.
That he himself didn't do it in the same way that Donald Sterling was engaged in racial comments. But he enabled it if he knew about it and let it continue.
Yes.
And I don't think that we're willing to treat women as any less than blacks in this situation, where if their rights are... You know, if their dignity rights have been compromised, there is no difference.
You could argue. Yeah, you're right. You could argue.
So is it? Is it? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, yeah. No.
But
sorry.
I'll just lay out this situation. Is it a Donald Sterling where he's asked to leave? Is it a Jerry Richardson where you expect him to step down, but you don't force him to? At least not publicly. Is it a New England Patriots where you find them in a painful way? Is it SMU back in the day with recruiting violations and death penalty? Like, how do you manage that if you're Adam Silver? If it comes out that he enabled this and allowed it to happen, what is the appropriate punishment?
If he knew, if he had been given emails from HR that these things are happening, that your president and CEO is doing this, and he did nothing, then he's got to be forced to sell the team.
Right.
In some ways, and this is going to sound in some ways wildly unpopular, so let me say on the front end, I'm so glad that racist piece of shit Donald Sterling is out of the NBA, because he was a horrible human being for decades.
Do you remember at the time who was the first owner to step up and say, we don't necessarily want to be pushed into getting rid of Sterling because everybody's got skeletons
Mark
in their
Cuban.
Closet? Mark Cuban came up publicly and said, let's not necessarily do this, because he's smart enough to know that's a precedent.
And what Cuban, if he did know... You could say that's worse, because what was Donald Sterling's actual crime? A private conversation between not an employee of the team was recorded and released. Technically, that's he didn't do anything wrong, even though morally a despicable person. So it's like, I mean, I hate bringing Sterling into compare, because I'm a big fan of Mark Cuban's. He's been on Off the Record. He was a very interesting guy. He's accomplished so many things, but sometimes you've got to put that to the side and look at the facts.
Yeah, I was going to say this makes him somewhat less presidential, but given the current president of the United States,
right on line with Donald.
This could just be campaigning.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to agree with you, and it seems harsh, but here's the thing: there's precedent now.
Yeah.
That if you're going to hold certain people to certain standards, you have to hold everybody to that standard. Mm-hmm. Because you can't say to women now, we understand that there's a problem here, but in the other situation, the N-word was used. So your situation is now, not morally comparable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If you're going to be fair to one, you have to be fair to all.
Yeah. Now, of course, this all depends on evidence and what eventually comes out and what is known. And not
this is all
known.
Speculative. This We're just talking about what could be happening.
My prediction, heavy fine.
That's mine too.
Yeah, a heavy fine, but they won't force him out.
I think it's going to be Spygate. I think what you're going to see is Spygate. They'll be forced to lose draft picks for 5 years. They're basically going to be put into the penalty box.
Also, I don't think the media will pursue vengeance or justice. Not let me get rid of vengeance, but justice at Cuban like they did with Sterling, because Cuban is more liked in the media. He's far more liked. He's much more. He's
Donald good. Sterling was a reprehensible figure.
Reprehensible,
he was an 82-year-old
reprehensible,
bigot.
Bigoted racist.
Right.
Mark Cuban is a progressive tech guy who was good friends with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So the media is not going to go after Cuban as much as Donald. And I don't even mean that as a complete condemnation of the media, because, hey, sometimes, man, you reap what you sow.
It's also, I think, worth noting that in the Donald Sterling situation, because the league is predominantly black,
yep,
that they had a kind of, a volume issue in a way, that you had so many black players that were just not going to stand for that. Mm-hmm. And the presence of women in professional sports is not nearly quite so strong.
No, it's not.
So you don't have, you know, 80% of your workforce saying, we're not going to accept this. It's a small minority. But then you ask yourself, well, then why is it a small minority? Like, if this is the kind of bullshit that goes on, like, no wonder women find it hard to crack into pro sports. Like, you know, you're a Dallas area woman and you want to get into management or you want to cover the team and you know this is going on.
Yeah.
Like, is this not so far off from the 50s in sports where it was like, well, you can be black, but we're not going to hire you. Like, sure, you can be better than the white guy on the field, but we're not going to put a black guy in one of our jerseys. I mean, how do you... To me, the kind of thinking is not so distant from that. And that's happening now in 2018. So I kind of feel like the league owes it to women to, if not, if they're not going to kick Cuban out, like, they have to really hang him out to dry. And that becomes the new precedent for every, like, it's funny, here in Toronto, we have Masai, and Masai's diversity policy, like, he stands on it constantly. He says, you hire women, you hire people from different backgrounds, you get perspectives from everywhere. And I think we as Canadians, we love that. We as Torontonians, yeah, we relate to that. I hope we do anyway. And this is, you know, in crisis, there's always opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to meet it head on.
Yep.
And he's got to take the lumps if it's proven.
If it's proven, that yes, he knew. 100%.
He's got to take the lumps anyway. Mm-hmm. Because as a boss,
yeah,
you can't not
like
know.
Having that reporter being there, and he knew it and didn't deal with that years before. So then here's pushing this conversation.
Okay.
What do you think, and what do you think Gary Bettman, Bill mm-hmm. Daly, NHL owners?
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't mean just to focus this on hockey. You can do this in all sports. How are they feeling? Because here's the analogy I gave way earlier this morning. Bob, do you believe in aliens?
Sure.
Okay. No, trust me.
Yeah.
We'll go somewhere.
I actually do.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think they're little green men.
No, most people believe. Okay. Do you believe there's life beyond planet Earth?
I do.
Why?
Because logic would suggest that in a universe this vast, mm-hmm. that the combination of things that created life on this planet probably happened somewhere else.
Makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Everyone I ask, they give that exact same answer. So let's take that to the sports world. This happened with the Dallas Mavericks. Well, the sports world is so vast, filled with, populated with almost entirely, you know, so many men in positions of power and also competitive-aholics, alpha dogs at a higher level, higher levels of testosterone, you know, many that do view women as a prize.
And people who are brought up through the bubble because they had very special skills that made a lot of people a lot of money.
So they're not used to hearing no. They're not used to having things not go their way. So if this happened to the Dallas Mavericks, it is absolutely, if it happens in finance and in the government, it is absolutely, what's this story in Dallas? It's happened in the NHL. It's happened in Major League Baseball. It's happened in the NFL.
It stands to reason.
It stands to reason the exact same way. We don't have any proof of extraterrestrial life, but it stands to reason it's out there.
It's a good analogy, actually. That's actually a great analogy. This reminds me now, is we've been talking about this for months, like what'll happen when the Me Too movement starts to move into the sports world. And we weren't sure in what form it would take. And this is very interesting. I didn't see this one coming, but there were probably easier entry points just with athletes and individual behavior.
We're all just waiting for Jerry Jones, aren't we? We're all just
kind of.
We're sitting back, you know. All right, Jerry. Let me check the Dallas Morning News today. Okay, not today. All right, moving on. That's unfair. I'm sorry, Jerry.
Well,
sort of.
It's unfairish.
Onwards and upwards.
Exactly. So I think it's fair to say that the investigation that's going to happen next is going to be very uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
to your point.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a bit, a lot of the people listening, you'd remember this, Maddie, but a lot of people listening might be a little young for it. In the 80s, the NBA had a big drug problem. Cocaine was like rife throughout the
league. Mid 70s to mid 80s kind of thing, yeah.
And it threatened the public image of the league in a very serious way. And they had to crack down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird. It was almost like the conversation all of a sudden became very much about, we're going to police drugs in our league.
Yeah.
And over time, players got the message.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what has to happen here. Maybe this is just going to become a predominant conversation with the leagues because, as you say, they're going to know in their gut. If it happened once, it can't happen again, and maybe lots. And they can't take that public hit.
Yeah.
So you have to be prepared by fixing a problem that may not even publicly exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
One last thing, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rachel Nichols brought this up, And I thought this was really interesting in her report that the team president eventually went to work for Under Armour and was fired in under 2 months because he cornered a female employee in an elevator. It was addressed and he was let go.
Ooh. Yeah. Just leave that right there and move on. Oh, and really quick, the NBA did have to fine Mark Cuban $600,000 for speaking on a former player's podcast that, we're tanking. Tanking is good. The NBA had to do it because they don't want to publicly reveal what we all know. The NBA is a tank league. All leagues are to a certain extent, except for, it seems, the NFL. So they had to fine it because they need to put up this image that they're against tanking, even though they fully endorse it. In Philadelphia, they call it the process, and they didn't get fined $600,000.
It's funny. Here in Toronto, we just call it the Shanna Plan. And it's, and everybody raises the flag and salutes it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
If they called it the Cuba Plan.
Yeah. But so there's that. Philadelphia does it. Everyone does it.
It's called the process.
Yeah, the process.
See, it's not admitting you're tanking because it's the process.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, if you're going to fine Mark Cuban $600,000, you should fine Philadelphia $6 million. Because
they've been doing it. They've been marketing the process.
They've been doing it far longer and losing far worse. They still had to do it, but seems odd. That's what Cuban's being fined for. Onwards and upwards. You want to do listener?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Listener questions to the show. The first one. Are you ready for a transition, Bob?
Oh, yeah.
The first one comes from Jeff Pollock. Who's Jeff Pollock, you ask? I'm going to tell you. Jeff Pollock is our lawyer. Jeff Pollock is an awesome lawyer. Why? It's a small law firm. It's a tiny little law firm. Dealt with my will and estate. Eventually, at some point, he'll deal with Bob and Sandra's. And all I can say is this guy is easy to get along with, very relatable, and it's not cookie cutter. You're not going to feel like you're just another client. And if you want to get a hold of him, jeffpollock.com. That's with a G, jeffpollock.com. His phone number, 416-777-0088. That number again, 416-777-0088. I went to Jeff's house last week. He invited me because I live close to him to a little party, and it was awesome.
So I got the invitation too.
Oh,
and it was the Champagne and Truffles event.
Champagne and Truffle Night, Bob.
Matt actually looked like he was about to start giggling.
Oh, I walked in, and there's Premier Cru Burgundy decanting. There's a really good Saint-Emilion decanting. There's some nice Riesling. And then later comes all the treats and the food and the champagne and the truffles. It was glorious. It's like someone created the perfect environment for me.
Me and Strombo knocked off a bag of Ruffles last night at 2 a.m, staring at his computer.
We will get to Strombopolis and what you're doing to being tied to a chair. Yeah.
Bag of Ruffles, though. I think I've had a bag of Ruffles every day since we started this shoot. Everybody just gets big on film sets because there's a lot of waiting.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of long hours.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of snacks because it's the one thing you can do. Yeah. You can't drink. You can't party. You got to stay there. Everybody's focused.
It's a coping mechanism.
It is totally a coping mechanism. Yeah. If I don't overeat Ruffles potato chips, I might as well be dead.
Let me check the Bible. I think Ruffles was in Lent.
Okay, wait a minute. Question for you here.
Yeah.
Here's my listener question.
All right.
I'm engaged in Lent, and I'm supposed to give up a number of things, including potato chips. Yeah. Can you hit pause on Lent because of extenuating circumstances?
I think no is the answer to that.
It feels like no.
Yeah.
But do you think
there's something
if there's an all-knowing and all-powerful God who is good, wouldn't he let you eat chips at 2 a.m. if you were really tired?
Bob, I don't know as much about the Bible as you do, but I don't remember themes of flexibility peppered all throughout the Bible. I don't remember that. I don't remember.
It's not the 10 suggestions.
Yeah, thou shalt compromise. I don't remember that being there.
Thou shalt not break thy vows to me unless, you know, you're really tired and, you know.
I don't even think Jeff Pollock.
It's not really a shit happens document, is it?
No. No, it's pretty to the point.
You already swore today, so since we got to swear.
You already swore.
So did you.
Yeah. So don't swear again.
Well, so what? We don't have a quota.
No, but I think, you know, if you get one or two, iTunes won't get angry.
Here's the thing.
If you swear too much, then they'll get mad at you.
Weren't you just telling me that it's either you do it or you don't?
No, but that's
and you were chiding me? That's what you're doing.
That's biblical stuff. Don't hold on.
Apple's more powerful than God.
Wait a minute.
He said, like John Lennon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. If Apple's more powerful than God, how did Steve Jobs die way before he should have? No. Don't try to compare.
How do you know that he's not staring down at us with a black turtleneck on, a mock turtleneck from the sky?
I was going to say there's a video camera on my computer, but it's Acer, so I get to. There's a loophole there. There's no Apple. All right. First question from Jeff Pollock: your favorite Olympic moment?
I haven't had a chance, Jeff, to see a lot of Olympics just because of the late sked, but my favorite single moment was probably Chloe Kim's run in the half pipe mm-hmm. and snowboard right at the beginning. One, because I was able to watch the competition in its entirety. Two, because, man, that is just such a cool event. And three, like, how great is that kid? 17 years old, total star. She kind of reminds me of the beginning of like a Shaun White situation where she's really good for a really long time. Mm-hmm. She's really charming and fun. And you kind of like, that would be a great role model for young girls, I think.
Yeah.
Like a really cool, smart, nice kid who's good at halfpipe.
Yeah.
I wanted my daughter to watch it because I was like, you know, you could do that, kiddo.
Yeah.
So that was probably my favorite moment. How about you?
Mark McMorris getting the bronze. Snowboarder just after, you know, he was induced into a coma a year ago because of a collision into a tree when snowboarding. So that'd be my moment, that contrast.
And to that point, that's a really great one, actually. So every time Wojtek Wolski takes the ice.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing.
You know, and they show the pictures of where he was at a year ago.
Broken neck to now now in the medal round against Germany.
No, and even in a smaller way, like you were saying about Lindsey Vonn, even though she's had such a great history, her body's broken down past, you know, what we would consider irreparable. Every time you have those moments where people come back from those deep holes to do something, totally inspirational. So,
100%.
And then last night was probably the best moment of the games, though, even though it didn't turn in our favor. Yeah, but just for drama.
Entertainment-wise, absolutely.
The most dramatic moment of the games was last night, if not the most satisfying.
Ding, ding, ding. Chelsea Darlington, please expand, Bob, on tied to the chair thing that you did for your project with George Strombopoulos.
Okay, so first of all, it's Strombopoulos, but, you know, just go with Strombo.
Yeah.
No.
Strombopoulos.
Strombolopoulos.
Strombopoulos. Moving on.
Are you actually trying?
I am actually trying.
Wow.
It's hard.
Champagne and truffles.
By the way, no better two shot in the history of television than an off the record.
Right. I know what you're going to say. Can we say it together?
George Strombopoulos and
Dikembe Mutombo.
When they had a font with both their names on the bottom of the screen. Hilarious. It was the alphabet and extra letters. They invented new letters.
Let's just say that the spacing in between the letters was not very big.
The people working in the control room, not happy that day. So yes, tied to
right,
a chair.
So, and I sent out a tweet Strombo. Just saying that, yes, that I was about my... I don't act, mm-hmm. but we're doing a show and it's about detectives and there was a kidnapping in it. And so we needed, you know, you try to keep your costs low.
Yeah.
So rather than bring in somebody,
yeah.
I was the stunt double.
Really?
So I had a mask over my head and I was in my bathrobe and I was tied to a chair.
Really?
I also got thrown into the back of a pickup truck.
How did that
I did
feel?
My own stunts.
Oh,
it wasn't so bad. We cut it in a way that I didn't really get super bruised.
Okay.
But yeah, that was okay. I don't act.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good. Mm-hmm. And
why haven't you asked the old podcast partner? I'll work for scale, you know?
actually, we probably should have, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when we go to series.
Okay. When you go to series. Remember, then. I do have an acting degree from McMaster.
So I will tweet this out because there is a funding agency out there, and part of the process application is you got to submit a 2-minute trailer. So it was crazy. We had about 4 weeks to take this idea that had been kicking around for a long time.
Yeah.
Commit to it, figure out what it was, write some scripts, build a actual proper shooting script, put a crew together, shoot the thing, cut it. We're kind of 3 weeks into the 4-week process right now, and it has been nutty.
Yeah.
But also kind of fun. You know, and people, everybody can relate to this when things get busy at work. There's a kind of a camaraderie and a fun that happens when you're past the point of no return.
Oh, yeah.
And you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And you start giggling over stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been there for a while. That's probably one of the reasons I took that shower this morning, Matt.
Yeah. Or maybe because that's what humans do.
Yeah.
They shower.
There is.
They clean.
But I also didn't care. It's like, you know, maybe in another day, because our house is a pigsty right now. Like, it's a total mess. Like, 30% of what we own is on the table we're recording on right now.
It's not that bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's not, you know... Seen worse.
You know, we were laughing about what's on the table right now. What's on Bob's table? We've got conditioner, a copy of T.S. Eliot poetry, illegal brass knuckles, kids' toys,
facial wipe. Yeah, it is. You know, it's a bit of a Wizard of Oz kind of tornado that's gone through here. By the way, if you need any help for this detective series, I got one. Our plucky young wine detective. And we'll have to shoot this on location. And it'll involve me.
Right.
And spoiler, it'll involve wine. And I think we got a hit.
I love it.
Yeah.
So basically, we just shoot an episode of you tasting wines and thumbs up, thumbs down.
And then it's like, will he realize if it's a new world or old world wine? Stick around. Oh, my God. Who wouldn't watch that?
I love that.
All right. Moving on. I love this question. From at Dale Cadeau. Should all winter months have 28 days like February and summer months more days? Tie it in when we stop changing our clocks an hour.
I feel like this answer could be a cause passion project. So why don't you handle it?
This is a brilliant idea. Now, while I'm not a climate change denier per se, I am a winter denier. I don't have the proper clothes for winter. I never dress properly for it. I hate winter. I don't like these people that love fall, because to me, fall means here comes the snow. So yes, the cold months, suddenly all 28 days. And you know what? December, we started on, I was going to say after the 26th, but we need New Year's.
No, you can have 31 days in December.
31 days in December.
Because winter's still fun in December.
Yeah. But January, February, and March are all now 28 days. We get to the Masters quicker. We get to March Madness quicker. We get to all our favorite sports. And if this is a way of destroying winter months, I'm all for it.
You know what that's like? Mm. It's like small plates at restaurants. Mm. When they serve your entree on smaller plates.
It feels like you get more food.
Yeah, it feels like you get more food and you're more satisfied. You're happy. I mean, your body probably needs half of what you're actually eating.
Yep.
The rest of it's for your brain. Mm-hmm. So I love it. This is the small plates theory.
Yep.
And good job on you, Dale Cadeau. Maybe the question of the week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I think it's my favorite one. Kim writes in, at Kim Alexander, now that Olympic hockey started, thoughts on the lack of NHL players? Do you feel the same way you did before the Olympics began?
I have a kind of longer answer, so why don't you take this one?
Okay, I'll keep it quick. Beyond like the Wolski story, I was hoping for more. There'd be more of these human interest stories that would suck me in, but it hasn't been. Good on Canada. They've only allowed 3 goals. They're the try-hard team. I'm spoiled. I don't want try-hard team. I want the, can you believe who's on the fourth line team? I like the idea more before it started. We're in elimination rounds. Maybe it'll change, but I miss the NHLers.
I was totally wrong. I advocated hard for this. I said it wouldn't matter when we got into the games, that all the things you said, personal interest stories, and the fact that there's an unknown factor. We don't know how this team will play.
Yeah.
That we'd be drawn in as a nation. Yeah, I don't care.
I
don't care. I'm so much more into the women's tournament.
They all look the same.
It's just whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not charming to me when I hear some former NHLer is like on this team.
Yeah.
It feels, for everybody who says, I don't love the CFL because I have the NFL. And it's not as good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of get that.
You know what? I miss the. How come PK Subban's not on the team? That was actually a much more fun conversation than, oh, this guy is finally going to make it after being in the KHL. Ugh.
I still think the NHL did the right thing, but the right thing is not always fun.
No.
He said, thinking about his own life.
Yeah, yeah, no, not at all. Bob Richter writes in, or no, I want to go Thomas Chappelle. I once made a short movie. It stank, but the trailer was awesome. Has any great trailers outmatched the actual movie?
Oh, good question. When have you ever been sucked in? It's funny because sometimes, you know, we get so sophisticated with trailers, you know, this is all the good stuff, and I don't need to see this.
Yeah.
I felt like Ghostbusters was that way, the reboot.
Oh, yeah.
The trailer looked really kind of good.
The movie was horrible.
I wouldn't say it was horrible. I think it was okay. That's my taste. I really like the people involved.
Yeah,
so.
That's also why I thought it was horrible. I'm like, I like all you people, and you're all doing a bad job, and the writing is bad. Ugh.
Somebody wrote into me, like, sort of as a subtweet on this, every DC movie, and I would agree with that.
Because
the DC movies have pretty much sucked universally.
Yeah.
The Mummy, I thought the trailer was really good, but the movie was poor.
Here's one for me, the one that always comes to mind. I remember being in the theater seeing the trailer for Independence Day. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And I had this image of all the different countries banding together. And it was going to be this cool thing. And we were so excited to see Independence Day. And then about 30 minutes in, I'm like, this is horse bleep. Like, this is just a bad movie. And I remember that was one of the first times I was really angry that the trailer, you know, way over overpromised and the movie underdelivered.
All of the trailers for the Pirates of the Caribbean movies after the first one. First one's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
And after that, I think they all varying degrees of suck.
Yeah.
But the trailers always look good because Johnny Depp is only really tolerable in that role in 30-second increments.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Watching him play Keith Richards over and over again.
It gets a little tiring.
It gets a little tiring. Yeah. So, yeah, good question, though. Yeah. Thoughtful. Very that is smart. A good
one. By the way, Bob, when if you go to the movies, what do you have to buy to get into the movies? What do you have to purchase?
What would that before be? I can get in, I need to purchase some kind of contract, which is issued in the form of a ticket.
Oh, in form of a ticket. Well, Bob, I got good news. We have a new Canadian partner. They've been a partner now for a little while. Concert tickets, sporting eventing tickets, everything and anything in North America. All you got to do is go to seatgiant.ca. And here's the key. All the tickets are in Canadian dollars. You're not going to get your credit card bill a month later and realize you have to pay 32% more because they charged you in American and you had no idea. This is a Canadian owned, operated, and they guarantee every ticket will be legitimate. Seatgiant.ca. But Bob, it gets better. If you're a fan of this show, then please use, and you're listening to this one, I imagine you are, use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout, and you will save money. And not only that, you'll save money, and we get a little bit of a kickback as well. You just click the add button, then the review order button, put in your discount code Bob and Matt, and you will see how much money you will save before confirming your order. Seatgiant.ca, use them. They rock.
That was a good read.
Thank you.
That was a good read. Actually, while you were reading, I was thinking, what tickets could I buy?
Yeah.
And help out Bob and Matt in their little vanity project they
exactly.
did.
Exactly. let's see here. What are the top five Twitter accounts that you almost followed but decided not to? That from Bob Ritchie.
I don't know if I've ever really not followed a Twitter account for any particular reason.
Do you want to tell everyone how I shamed you from stop following an account?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Back in our Mac on Cause days that's on right.
so
PSN?
Cause's fascination was to go through the guests' Twitter accounts and see who they follow. And if he found an interesting one, either talk/shame them about it on the air.
Yep.
And so he did this with me on the air.
Yep.
Scrolled through a couple hundred and then landed on Paulina Gretzky.
And so I pulled it up. I'm like, oh, Bob, let's see the interesting pieces of wisdom you're getting from this. And I shamed because, like, why are you here, Bob? Is it because she's a pretty young woman? And about an hour later, you unfollowed Paulina Gretzky.
Because it was such a thorough shaming.
Yeah.
And I had nothing to say.
It might be my greatest ever shaming of you.
Certainly publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly. I had nothing. I always have something to say whenever you try to shame me. And at the very least, I'll make some kind of reverse around where I accuse you of being, you know, Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Oh, it's easy.
Decanting the Moulin Rouge or whatever it was at Truffle Night.
Why would you? Anyway, I'm not even going to Moulin Rouge. How dare you? But yes, that was a...
I didn't even bother.
Yeah.
It's like, just look.
Yeah.
Just, so I'll unfollow her.
I don't have any of those, but I've never understood, like, when I see 99% of celebrity Twitter accounts, they're mostly ghost-written. They're mostly just to promote. And that's fine. I get it. But they don't offer any insight. So I don't think I follow any celebrities. Like, literally, I don't think I follow any athletes, any coaches, certainly no owners. So I don't follow really anything like that.
This question comes at a bad time for me because I kind of got Twitter burnout right now over the last few months.
Yeah.
I'm not somebody who needs to get off Twitter because it's so toxic because I don't really fight with anybody and so nobody really fights with me.
Yeah.
But just generally, I look at it, it's like, man, I'm not really getting much out of this. They got an anger problem in that platform.
They really do.
They really do.
Oh,
so,
my God.
You know, I always post my album of the day.
Yeah.
I try to post things that I think people might find interesting.
Yep.
And occasionally a thought or two.
Mm-hmm.
But not even so much that. I mostly just post things that I think people might like.
Yeah. Yeah. I still, my favorite thing is I always love responding whenever anyone has anything negative to say. Because if it's constructive, I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. Usually it's not constructive, but I just kill people with kindness.
thank you, he lied.
Yes, exactly. We got time for one more, then we're almost out of time, Bob.
Really?
We're at 54 minutes.
Wow, we didn't even get to the Leafs.
Real quick. Don't give up Nylander and Marner for Ryan McDonagh. There. That's my Leafs.
Nicely said.
That's my Leafs. Joe underscore 17. If you owned an AR-15, what non-lethal uses would you have for it? My first, guacamole. You know, just when you, you know, when you're just crushing the avocado to make guacamole. I think that would be the first thing. Other, if I need to reach and grab something on a top shelf, and then you can use it to maybe bring it down. Because I'm not very tall. So those would be my uses.
Like when you have packages that are hard to open, you know, and you don't want to get your teeth in there.
Yeah.
So you can maybe just blast the top of the...
Yeah.
So all snarkiness aside, that topic is so depressing and so crushing. Sometimes topics... I was really proud of the way the kids have rallied.
Yeah.
You know, like this is pretty amazing. And it's incredible to see... It reminds me a bit of the 60s where you have this kind of... patriarchal hegemony that's lined up against the kids that are making totally valid points.
Yeah.
And basically saying, shut up, kids, you don't know how life really works. And they can't do it too rudely, but they also refuse to be bullied by the kids, you know. And it's very interesting because what the GOP and a lot of the gun advocates would try to paint themselves as either naive BS.
Yeah.
Or like grandstanding. And those accusations have come up all over the place. Is people doing exactly what you're supposed to do in democracy, which is you see a situation that's broken and you band together and you make your voice public. I think it's kind of beautiful.
Oh, I love it. You know, when, if...
Especially coming from the point of view of the victims, like the kids, sorry to interrupt, Matt, but I'm just sort of obsessed with this. Like the kids will say, I was at the school and I don't want this anymore. And all these grown-ups lining up and saying, but you don't understand. You have to have it.
Yeah.
And when they're challenged on why do we have to have it, like nobody can really just say, look, you don't understand how much money these people give us to give us the chance to be in power.
Yeah, I will never understand the it's greed hiding behind the Second Amendment. Amendments have changed in the past. They had an amendment for prohibition. Well, they got rid of that one. Maybe something we can just yeah.
I think you have to be very careful with the amendments because as we rally around the First Amendment and the right to free speech, and we say that's an unassailable right, then you can't be hypocritical and say, but the Second Amendment therefore is changeable. Like you don't get to pick which amendments you think are more important than others.
That
said, though. Mm-hmm. The idea that you can't interpret and modify and work with.
Yes.
Somebody made a great point, which is, a bunch of people ate Tide Pods and now you know, within a month, you can't get them in over the counter.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to do that, hunting rifles, fine. We're out of time. I'll just say this. New Zealand.
Yeah, it was a big topic to bring in.
New Zealand, Australia, England, Germany, Canada have much stricter.
Are driver's licenses unconstitutional?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you have to go and get a gun license, but is the idea that you need to have a gun license unconstitutional?
Yeah.
Is that unnecessary legislation?
Changes seem to need to be done. We can chat about it later. Or guacamole. You know, you can use the butt of the rifle to crush the,
Look, you've gone through the states. Mm-hmm. You've gone out of your way.
And I'm a big fan of the states.
I love it, too. Yeah. I love the states, too. Or at least I love what they have been and can be.
And I love what they are. It's just, anyway.
It's a weird, weird, weird place.
We got to go, Bob.
I know. Are you wrapping up because we're at 58? Because you always do this. Because you're always paranoid about hitting 60. So
well, it's because otherwise I have to. It's a lot more work to edit things out.
So what is the exact time right now?
It is 57 minutes and 45 seconds.
So you don't really got to go.
We got to go, Bob.
If you were on the air right now and you had to hit a 12 o'clock post.
I would be out.
And you would just let dead air ring for 2 minutes?
Bob, if we go from the start of this, I am a time freak. You have a good weekend. Hope you get tied up by more chairs, and we'll chat on Monday. Take care, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.